The joint session will come back to order. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an act unanimous consent that the record reflect that all appointees to boards and commissions are for terms specified in the nomination notice.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered. Senator Coletta.
I move an act unanimous consent that the joint session adjourned.
Senator Coletta, we have one other matter to come before, and that's the legislative budget and audit. Would you withdraw your motion, sir?
I withdraw my motion, sir.
The statute, section 24.20.251, provides that the legislative budget and audit committee nominate a legislative auditor, and that auditor be confirmed in joint session. I have before me, April 27th, a letter addressed to Senator John Rader, President, Alaska State Senate, Juneau. Dear Mr. President, the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee has reviewed the qualifications of Mr. Gerald R. L. Wilkerson for appointment as legislative auditor and finds Mr. Wilkerson to be qualified for that position. On behalf of the Budget and Audit Committee, I would like to take this opportunity to recommend that Mr. Wilkerson's appointment as legislative auditor be confirmed during joint session of the legislature. The nomination, Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an act unanimous consent that Mr. Gerald Wilkerson, or is it Wilkerson?
Wilkerson, W-I-L-K-E-R-S-O-N.
Wilkerson be confirmed as legislative budget and audit auditor.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, Mr. Gerald L. Wilkerson is hereby confirmed as legislative auditor. I will file the nomination letter with the secretary. Representative Miles.
We stand at ease.
Senate will stand at ease.
Joint session will come back to order.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an act unanimous consent that the joint session adjourned.
Is there any discussion or debate? I guess there is no debate on the general. Hearing no objection, we are adjourned.
Before the recess this morning, we're down on our calendar to House Bill 341. Not sure we have sufficient members present in the chamber to advance a bill. I'll ask the members to indicate their presence by voting. Clerk, please take the quorum.
Twenty-three present, 18 absent.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, may we be at ease?
House, please stand at ease.
Miss Irene, would you be subtract that?
Did I what? Don't start adding them because the excused are always wrong. Ms. Rodriguez.
House, please come to order. We'll take another quorum call to reflect on the record that we have sufficient members present for advancing a bill, second or third reading. Members, please indicate their presence by voting. Clerk, please take the quorum.
Thirty-three present, seven absent.
So we have a sufficient number. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the quorum call having been satisfied, the Vice Chairman of Finance asked me to announce that those members, finance members, can be excused, not from the call, but from the floor, to continue to meet on Finance Committee meetings matters now.
And clerk, please read the next item on the daily calendar.
House Bill number 341 by Miles, an act relating to liability of health care providers. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 341 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Miles, Dankworth, Rudd, and Specking. Having no recommendation, Eliason. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 341 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 341 in third reading.
House Bill number 341 by Miles, an act relating to liability of health care providers.
Question.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 341 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please announce the total.
28 yeas, no nays, 13 excused, 12 excused.
House Bill 341 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the daily calendar.
House Bill number 357 by Gardner, Duncan, Eliason et al. An act making a special appropriation to the Water Resources Revolving Loan Fund within the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 357 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Chatterton, Bradley, Parr, Carpenter, and Hayes. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 357 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 357 and that it do pass and attaches a report of its intent. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Guy, Schaefer, Meekin, Swanson, and Duncan. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, any amendments to the committee substitute?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mr. Gardner. Has this one been duplicated? It's on each member's desk. It's to page one, lines 6 through 13.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of amendment number one.
There is objection. Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, the Representative Elias and I met with Mr. Gallagher, Commissioner of Revenue, yesterday, and on his advice, I wanted to offer this amendment. It would more appropriately place the money where it could be best utilized. And also revises the figure for the that was originally for the Sitka project. It was $1.5 million. The accurate figure of what they actually need is $1.6 million. And that money is needed immediately, and the money that is appropriated under Section 2 of the bill to the Alaska Power Authority would be a slower procedure. And the project in Sitka is already was funded through the last year's appropriation, and they're already on stream. So it provides for the Commissioner of Revenue to make the loan directly so that they can proceed this construction season.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I've got one or two questions. I have on my desk here a letter of intent from Chairman of the House Finance Committee. I had a question on that to start with. And the question was, and it's going to tie into the amendment. I'll get there. But the question was, what was the basis for these preferences that are listed here? I know that when it came before, as I recall, when it came before Commerce Committee, there was a list, which I don't have in my packet, so I don't know if there was any difference between the list that came before us in Commerce Committee and this. And then the total amount of money here is $3,500,000. Now, as I'm reading this, this $3,500,000 that was going to be split up among various cities, including the Anchorage municipality of $200,000 for municipal water supply. Now that $3,500,000 appears by this amendment to be reduced to $2 million, so that $1,500,000 plus another $100,000 can go to the Sitka project. So it's a two-part question.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, the information that was given to the Commerce Committee is identical to the fiscal note that, or the letter of intent that the Finance Committee has published. All the numbers are exactly the same. And that includes the information that was originally given them that had the $3.5 million figure in the original bill, included the $1.6 million for the Green Lake project at Sitka. So it's I've looked at this, and they're the identical numbers and allocations.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative McKinnon had a copy of the original list of preferences for the expenditure of this money, and the not being able to look at that and subtract it quickly in my head from $3,730,000, and the Green Lake Hydro was left blank, and it's on the letter that I have, and I now understand it and have no further question.
Is the objection maintained, the adoption of the amendment? Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like some explanation for the further explanation on the Finance Committee's substitute. Originally, Mr. Speaker, the bill introduced 357 asked for appropriation of $3.5 million to the Water Resources Revolving Loan Fund, I believe, and now we seem to suddenly forgotten about Water Resources and are into the Power Revolving Loan Fund, and I wondered if the original sponsors of the bill were aware of that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, when the legislature went into the issue of hydro and water supply development, the legislature set up two mechanisms, the Water Resources Revolving Loan Fund and the Alaska Power Authority, as two financial mechanisms. And at this point in time, the administration, both Department of Commerce and the Commissioner of Revenue prefer the usage of the Alaska Power Authority. And there's a lot of reasons why that. One of the main reasons that the Commissioner of Revenue expressed to me was that in the review of these projects, some of them you're ultimately talking of like $40 million capitalization. It's rather a large financial project, and there's a lot of technical analysis of it. And the people that are placed on the board for the Alaska Power, I think that's a couple that I remember, Bob Ward and Frank Murkowski, and there's a gentleman, I think it was Rocky, Mr. Gentleman from Sitka. felt that they had much more expertise in dealing with these large financial questions, actually analyzing it. And I think from the consumer standpoint, that's important, because once you have one of these projects, the consumer is ultimately going to pay for it. The revenues from the electricity have to pay the cost of the project. So there needs to be an accurate assessment of whether it's a financially feasible project and what the rates are going to be.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry, but I'm not understanding, but I didn't know the $200,000 that is in paragraph 2 of section 1 of the amendment. It says it's going to power project revolving loan funds. Was the testimony of Representative Gardner that that's the same thing as, for some reason or another, as a water resources revolving loan fund, and that $2 million will be allocated to the various municipalities as listed by the chairman of the House Finance Committee?
Representative Gardner.
Yeah, Mr. Duncan isn't here, and he's a lot more familiar as the author of the legislation rather than lengthy in the Alaska Power Authority, but the answer basically is yes, it's meant to be the same allocation.
Representative Hayes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. That being the case, Mr. Speaker, we picked up an extra $100,000, $3.6 million versus $3.5 million, unless there's only $130,000 in the surplus funds for fiscal year 77. We picked up an extra $100,000, and I wonder if someone could tell me where that extra $100,000 went and which project.
Mr. Speaker, maybe I can clear this up a little.
Mr. Eliason.
I have a letter from Jim Adams, who's Deputy Commissioner of Department of Revenue. And it states here, FPC licensing, this is what the money's been used for, is $40,000. Investigation and final feasibility report on the project is $360,000, which is actually a total of $400,000. And then road and final design phase of the project, which is $1,200,000, total of $1,600,000. And in a cover letter, Mr. Speaker, coming from my office, these figures are the same, except the total is $1.5 million. So we dropped $100,000. And this error we picked us up there just a couple days ago. So actually, the total should have been $1.6 million, in the summary, as it was in the from Department letter, Revenue's letter.
Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I have one specific question, and that is, can the Anchorage Municipal Water Supply $200,000 be granted and under the Power Revolving Loan Fund? If that could be clarified for me, I would have no problem. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, as I understand it, can be one thing, especially in these hydro projects, which you're looking at, they're combination projects in many cases also. So a lot of times the same project's going to be hydroelectric, may also have water supply. So all those projects that were in the original bill would be covered under the Alaska Power Authority also.
House, please stand at ease. House, please come to order. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 357 be taken from today's calendar and held in second reading for tomorrow's calendar, replaced in second reading on tomorrow's calendar.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the daily calendar.
House Bill number 465 by Parr and Dankworth, an act relating to equal treatment of persons under regulations adopted by the Department of Health and Social Services. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 465 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 465 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Buchholz, Phillips, Byrne, Bennett, and Parr. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the HESS committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Ms. Clerk, have any amendments to the committee substitute?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mrs. Buchholz. Page one, line 19. Delete the following words, affected by any insanitation. Insert in their place the following phrase, consumers of the prepared food or product.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one.
There's objection. Representative Buchholz.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker. The reason why I propose this amendment is for the following. My understanding is that this bill would protect those people who preserve or can fruits or maybe vegetables or maybe even fish in their homes, and that the insanitation condition would be their concern if someone becomes ill or probably happen to have botulism or other kinds of terrible disorders caused by this problem. The reason why I didn't like to use the word insanitation is that it implies that the food canning within a family entity is not that sanitary, and I just don't like that idea to be going around. And to say that the product that they produce, either pickles or fruits or canned salmon, is going to be their own personal concern, as long as they use it within the family circle, that it should be to their own protection if they want to produce a product that is sanitary or unsanitary. But just to remove the connotation that their particular home canning business within the family is unsanitary is something that I really can't agree with, and this is why I propose the amendment.
Remove objection, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kelly. The clerk, please reread amendment number one.
Page one, line 19. Delete the following words, affected by any insanitation. Insert in their place the following phrase, consumers of the prepared food or product.
If the amendment were adopted, the line 19 would read then in context, be consumers of the prepared food or product. Representative Anderson. Clerk, please reread amendment number one.
Page one, line 19. Delete the following words, affected by any insanitation. Insert in their place the following phrase, consumers of the prepared food or product.
Is the objection maintained? The adoption of amendment number one. Hearing no further objection, amendment is adopted. The clerk, of further amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 465 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Anderson. House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Before the at ease, House Bill 465 is moved into third reading. The bill is now before you in third reading with Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to get some explanation about what the first section is all about, why it's needed, and somebody's going to have to explain the second section to me. And also, how does this affect bake sales and cookie sales and operations like that we had such a large problem in Anchorage over so recently?
Clerk gave me a note that the bill has not actually been read in third reading. We have adopted the motion. So would the clerk please read House Bill 465 in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 465 amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to equal treatment of persons under regulations adopted by the Department of Health and Social Services.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the bill is an attempt to solve a problem which, at least at this point, as far as I know, exists only in Anchorage. The health authorities in Anchorage have apparently been attempting to impose stricter standards on private schools there, and specifically the Montessori schools, or Tom Thumb, I believe is their name, than they have on the public schools. They've been saying such things, for example, that, you know, one toilet for 20 kids is okay for public school, but you got to have one for 10 for a private school, or X number of square feet of space in a public school, but you got to have 1.5x in a private school. And these people have apparently been very much concerned about this. They came to see me, a lady who's runs it, and I got in touch with the Department of Health and Social Services and established the fact that there was no reason for a differential in standards. They felt the problem lay with the Anchorage Health Department, so I got in touch with Mr. Rose, who was at that time the president of the Anchorage Assembly, and brought the problem to his attention. But then it appears that the department was coming out with some more regulations, and so the whole thing rose again. And I spent about 2 weeks trying to work this out so it wouldn't be necessary to go to legislation unsuccessfully. So as a result, I said, the only thing to do is to guarantee equal treatment for the public and the private sectors. And there's no reason, Mr. Speaker, if something is unsanitary in one, it's unsanitary in another. It's that simple. So anyway, as a result, the bill was introduced. Now, as regards Mr. Kelly's questions, I think what I just said answers the first section of the bill. The second section, I think it's really almost says the same thing. They won't adopt any regulations unless they result in equal treatment of all the people in the same situation. In other words, public school or private school, they get the same treatment. It's that simple.
Representative Urien.
Representative Hoggins, kitchen in Petersburg be subject to inspection because of his activities with crab tails and herring?
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, that was the reason for the committee substitute when the gentleman from Environmental Health testified before the committee. They had no objection to the bill, but they were afraid they would be that it might imply that they inspected private homes and so forth, and that's the reason we had a committee substitute made in an attempt to solve that problem.
Representative Urien.
I don't see the problem solved in the committee substitute. It says that if only members of that household would. Now, I've received a herring and cattails from Mr. Hoggin, and I'm not a member of his household.
Member of the same house, huh? Representative Swanson.
A few weeks ago, we had a thing called the Tote Sink Rebellion, and it was brought to light that the Health and Social Services regulated camps like former Representative Specking talked about, which would have been a private camp, where it says public or private. Now, tell me what kind of jurisdiction the Health and Social Services is going to have over a situation like former Representative Specking had with his camps that he takes tours in the summertime.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, this doesn't change the authority that the Department of Health has had all along, Division of Health has had all along on things of that sort. It doesn't do that at all. All it does is to make it clear that they have to have the same standards for that private outfit as they have for public. That's all.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Kay, I have one question. If with this second section, let's take a case of an inspection, a health inspection, and Department of Health and Social Services inspects a certain facility in Anchorage, say four times a year, and that same facility in a more type of facility in a more remote location, perhaps only once or twice a year. Is that, under this statute, would that be unequal treatment, therefore make any regulations invalid?
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I don't believe so. The second section, all persons similarly situated, and I'm not sure that somebody who's situated out in Northway is going to be in the same situation, is in Northway, is the same situation as somebody in Anchorage.
It's further discussion. You ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 465 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please announce the total.
33 yeas, no nays, 6 excused, 1 vacancy.
So House Bill 465 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the daily calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 11 by Curtula, relating to the Solomon Gulch Hydroelectric Project. The Committee on Commerce has had Senate Joint Resolution 11 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Brown, Hayes, Parr, Bradley, and Chatterton. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
I think the number on the board is wrong.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution Number 11 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read Senate Joint Resolution 11 in third reading.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 11 by Curtula, relating to the Solomon Gulch Hydroelectric Project.
Question. You ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution Number 11 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please announce the total.
34 yeas, no nays, 5 excused, 1 vacancy.
So Senate Joint Resolution Number 11 has passed the House. Brings us down to the end of today's calendar and to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Miles.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring up reconsideration on committee substitute for House Bill 181 at this time.
Reconsideration was held over from yesterday. That brings up reconsideration of House Bill 181. The clerk, please read House Bill 181, third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 181 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to vacancies in the legislature. I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Has the amendment been duplicated? Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. We go back to second reading for purposes of specific amendment.
There's objection. Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, the amendment merely solves the problem that was brought out on floor debate on House Bill 181, that with the appointment deadline in the bill of April 1st, it was possible that we would have simultaneous election. The amendment and has been duplicated, but it was duplicated yesterday and circulated. Merely takes on page 1, line 11 and 12, and page 2, line 21 and 27, moves the April 1st date back to January 1st. In effect, what this does is vacancies that occur in the legislature prior to January 1st of the last year of the term will be filled by special election. After January 1st, the last year of the term, they will be filled by appointment to the governor. I'd move adoption of the amendment.
The motion is to shall House Bill 181 be returned to second reading. Is there further discussion? You ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 181 be returned to second reading for the purpose of adoption of a specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please announce the total.
34 yeas, no nays, 5 excused, 1 vacancy.
So House Bill 181 has been returned to second reading. Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, now I would like to move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 1.
Hearing no objection, Amendment Number 1 is adopted. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent for committee substitute for House Bill 181 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 181 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 181 amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to vacancies in the legislature.
Question. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
I believe I submitted another amendment. Oh, I'm sorry.
Would the clerk please read proposed amendment number 2?
Amendment number 2 by Mr. Anderson. Page 1, line 23. Delete 5, add 2. Page 1, line 24. Delete 50, add 30. Page 1, line 25. Delete 70, add 60.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we move back to second reading for purposes of amendment.
There's objection. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I spoke to Mr. Miles about my concern about the bill, and my concern is simply that the intent of the legislation is to bring the public into making the selection of people that have to be elected rather than being appointed by the governor, and I'm certainly in favor of that. The intent of my amendments are to tighten up the time frame so that the public, when they're left unrepresented, that they might have someone down here or the process begin sooner so that they can have an election sooner and be represented sooner in Juneau. And on line 20, on line 23, in the proclamation and date of a special election, the days that are represented in the bill are 5 days. There's absolutely no reason in the world why the 5 days cannot be changed to 2, because once you know a vacancy occurs, it is vacant, and that's all there is to it. The second point is that on the number of days that where the special election shall be held is between 50 in the bill and 70, and what I'm trying to do is to move that date up, because in my case, Mr. Speaker, the election was held within 42 days after the announcement that there would be an election. And it could have been held a lot sooner had the Lieutenant Governor been directed by legislation that the announcement would be made 2 days after the vacancy occurred. And we can prove, in fact, that the election can be held sooner than 70 days and even sooner than 60 days. I had originally put the number 50 days in, but I was requested by Mr. Miles that he had been contacted by the elections office stating that they needed at least 60.
Representative Phillips.
Could we have the amendment reread, please?
Clerk, please reread amendment number 2.
Page 1, line 23. Delete 5, add 2. Page 1, line 24, delete 50, add 30. Page 1, line 25, delete 70, add 60.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, in the first part of the amendment calling for the proclamation 2 days after the vacancy occurs, sometimes the vacancy occurs because of a death, and proclaiming the vacancy before the funeral even takes place, I think, might not be in good taste. That's my own feeling about it, at any rate.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 181 be returned to second reading for the purpose of adopting specific amendment? Motion takes 21 votes. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please announce the total.
28 yeas, 6 nays, 5 excused, 1 vacancy.
So House Bill 181 has been returned to second reading. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the amendment be adopted.
Objection. There is objection. Representative Anderson.
Well, I'm just going to read very briefly from a letter that was sent to my attorney. It's dated January 14th, and it states, as we discussed by telephone today, the Lieutenant Governor has agreed to defer until Monday, January 17th, announcing a definite date for the special election in District 16. Apparently, there's really no cut and dried rule on when an announcement can or cannot be made, and that's why I agree wholeheartedly with the effort of this bill. I think it makes it pretty clear that once you have a vacancy, or it's announced, or there is in fact a vacancy, that we can, and this makes it absolutely clear with the past experience that we've had in January and with what we've got now, and this letter is written and signed by the Attorney General of the State of Alaska, Mr. Council. And again, I wanted to speak on the time frame. 42 days after the announcement was made, the election was held, and if there's any place more difficult to hold an election because of the language problems and other problems that occur in rural Alaska, there certainly can't be any reason why you can't accelerate an election in an urban area where you have the benefit of electronic communications and other ways of getting the news out.
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to have to oppose the amendment. I think Representative Anderson brings up a good point, but of course that's one of the problems with the bill, is that if we do pass the bill, we will have vacancies in this body from time to time that are going to have to go back to the people for a vote, and we are going to have empty seats here. But I think that we're going to have to give, you know, just from a mechanical viewpoint, Representative Anderson may or may not be correct, that they might be able to, on a specific district, handle the election procedure much quicker than they can on, say, a general or a primary election. I know they say they need 30 days before the election to mail their ballots. They need 2 weeks before that and a week before that. And seeing as how Alaska is so large, they do need this kind of time before a special or a general, perhaps on a real special election confined to one district, perhaps they might be able to do that. And I think that's what Representative Anderson is saying. On the other hand, I think that if we're going to have an election, you're going to darn well have to give the people back home a chance to find out who's running and make their selections. I think if you try to get an election in at 30 or 40 days, what's going to happen is nobody's going to be aware of where to file and who to file with. You're going to have all kinds of problems with the APOC. You're going to have candidates who wish they could have run and hadn't heard about the vacancy, and you're going to have all kinds of problems. So I think that this is a trade-off, that if you want the bill, you're just going to have to allow some extra time for a decent election to be held back in the home district. And so I'm going to have to oppose the amendment.
Representative Swanson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I think that this would be rather cumbersome to change the 5 days to 2 days, because if something happened to somebody at 10 o'clock on Thursday night, you can't do it in 2 days. There's nobody upstairs on Saturday and Sunday. Same thing with Friday. So I think that the two-day limitation here shouldn't be in. I think we should have left it at the 5 days.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I happen to agree with Mrs. Rudd as far as the 5 days, and with the amendment putting 2 days in on line 23. I'm just wondering if we can split the question on this amendment.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What is the number of that amendment?
Two.
Move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number two be withdrawn.
Hearing no objection. Motion is adopted. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 181 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 181 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 181 amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to vacancies in the legislature.
Ready for the question?
Yes.
The question is, shall House Bill 181 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please announce the total.
26 yeas, 7 nays, 6 excused, 1 vacancy.
So House Bill 181 has passed the House. Is there an effective date clause on that bill?
No.
Is there other unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that reconsideration on committee substitute for Senate Bill 261 be held over one legislative day.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted.
For which bill?
Senate Bill 261. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, Community and Regional Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. We'll work on House Bill 133, Municipal Land Selection.
Representative McKinnon.
The Commerce Committee will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow on Senate Bill 75, Motor Vehicle Title Transfer.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the House Committee, HES Committee, will meet at 7:30 this evening on House Bill 340, dealing with alcoholism and drug abuse. I know the members have had a long, hard day, but we do have people from out of town to testify on that bill, and I'd appreciate it if they could be there.
Further announcements? Is there further business to come before the House? Representative Cotton, House, please stand at ease.